Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So, man cold became man pneumonia, so I've been sleeping a lot. Didn't really have much of a chance to write a sermon. And I owe you a short service after last week. So here it is. Everyone needs to have faith. Faith makes all things possible. Some people don't have enough faith, and they lose. The door is closed. Then that's it. Well, and then that was pretty much the quick, clear translation from the parable from Matthew that we just heard. That's it. Got it. I learned it in seminary. So I can go home and go back to bed now. Except... what's enough faith? Can it be measured like bottles of oil? I have a bag full of faith, is that enough? A hat full of faith, a heart full of faith? What's enough faith? And honestly, as you heard the parable, it's not a very Jesus-y parable, is it? I mean, it excludes people, it locks them out, you know, they're there at the door, help! And many scholars... for this, because it's not very Jesus-y, and other technical reasons, they refuse to accept this as an authentic teaching of Jesus. They say, no. It, at the very least, there may have been a Jesus story there, but they've modified it. They've added a new ending. That's what the scholars will tell you. And I would love to do that, but I'm not enough of a scholar. I find it hard to reconcile the locked door with the Jesus of compassion. You know, with the Jesus who searches for one lost sheep or invites the dregs of society to come to a wedding banquet. But I also think we need to be careful about dismissing parts of the Bible just because we find the words or ideas hard to live with. So let's look at it again, just together for a moment. A wedding is planned. Now, in Jesus' time, there was no greater celebration in a community than a wedding. It involved the whole village. Did you see the people gather at City Hall for Remembrance Day? Or in Ottawa? Did you see all those people gathering? Okay, bigger than that. And more festive, too. It was a happy occasion, right? I mean, as exciting as the Argos, the Blue Jays, the Raptors, the TFC, the Wolfpack, the Rock, and the Leafs, all winning a championship in the same year. Okay? That big. As big as Christmas, Easter, and art craft all combined. Okay? Everyone was involved. Now, because of a lack of reliable transit and also to heighten anticipation, the groom could arrive at any time within about a fortnight, but a two-week period, any day. You don't know for sure. Kind of makes you excited. Ooh. So everyone was waiting. It was part of the fun. Now, the bridesmaids, they were of the highest character to reflect well on the bride, and they were less concerned about a bachelorette party and more concerned with being ready to greet the groom. That actually was their job. Now, not knowing if the groom would arrive by day or night, they had lamps to light so that he could see his way should he arrive at night. And some, anticipating a longer wait, prepared by storing extra oil to keep their lamp lit, okay? Now, this all made perfect sense to everybody hearing the parable for the first time. Okay. Now, the groom arrives. And wouldn't you know it, he arrives at night. So we need all the lamps lit. Okay. Unfortunately, it's also late in the fortnight that he's arrived because some of these young women have run out of oil. They hurriedly search out the oil merchant to buy more oil, but by the time they get back, the groom has arrived. And the town is locked up for the celebration, and they're excluded. They're not allowed in. Too late. Too bad. Toodaloo. And as I mentioned at the outset, obviously the groom is Jesus. Obviously the wedding is the second coming of Jesus or the coming of the kingdom. Obviously oil is faith, and those who do not have enough faith will not be received by Jesus. They will not enter the kingdom. They will be locked out. Yeah. See, I want this to be a short sermon. I really do. But not at the cost of getting it wrong, okay? Not at the cost. No. See, this is not a story of the lazy grasshopper and the industrious ants, right? These young women, they're not chided for falling asleep. The foolish five are not of bad character. They're not lazy. They're not disobedient. They simply made the wrong choice. And so they are locked out. The other women, they're not praised for being clever or being well prepared. In fact, in the whole story, there are no words of praise or scorn, no congratulations, no blame. I mean, the groom doesn't say to the five who are locked out, "You blew it, it's your fault." He simply notes by the parable that whatever it is they needed, they didn't have enough of it. And I recognize that. It's been my experience that sometimes things happen and we just can't manage. Sometimes things happen that are beyond a person's ability to cope. And I would suggest to you that sometime in your life, there will come a time when you will need more than you have. You will need more than your own personal resources. And there will be situations when the door just seems locked and you can't get through. The death of a loved one, failing health, loss of a job. That's the kind of situation in which the five women outside the gate have found themselves. I mean, they'd made plans and they were excited. They had expectations, and then almost without warning, everything's changed. And try as they might, they can't put it back the way it was. The door's locked. Have you ever felt that way? Wanting only to put things back the way they used to be before the diagnosis, before the economy changed, before the big fight, before it all fell apart, before he died. I think that the parable has something to say about that situation. Never mind whether or not Jesus is the groom. We can debate that one all day. We are the five foolish women. Of that, we can be sure. That's us. We is them. Because we all know how it feels to be locked out. We have all been there. And the parable has something to say about that condition. And you got to look at it closely, maybe. But I got to tell you, I think the first thing it says is, it's not your fault. The pain you feel is not felt because you don't have the right stuff. The emptiness you feel does not mean your faith isn't good enough. The young women short of oil were not at fault any more than the passengers of the Titanic were at fault. Yes, hindsight says they should have carried more oil. But hindsight says the passengers on the Titanic should have taken a smaller boat. Right? The simple truth in our lives and in this parable is that sometimes we make the wrong choice. And we find that we don't have enough. Sometimes the door is simply locked and nobody at the gate recognizes us. It hurts, but it happens. It's worth noting that the incident in the parable required more oil for the lamp than one would usually carry. It required an extra supply. Our locked out lasses, they didn't squander their oil. They simply didn't store extra. You got extra tires stored in your car? I mean, more than a single spare. What if you get three flats? Have you got three ready at any moment? Would we blame you for having only one spare tire? I identify with these young women who didn't have enough oil. I imagine 10 women preparing for the wedding, and they meet with the oil salesman. "Oh, it's a big wedding," they explain. "Well then," he smiles, "you'll be needing extra oil." And they laugh, "Well, of course we're going to need oil. Perhaps you should have extra, extra oil just in case. Yeah, sure. And for $50, I can get the Future Shop warranty on my computer. For an extra $180, Sears offered me a warranty on my washing machine. See how that turned out. How many of us take the extra warranty? Right? The extra warranty because the salesman says we should. It's a good deal. It's only 10% extra. And they look around and go, what are the odds of the groom showing up at night? I mean, night, that's only 8 hours, right? I mean, probably show up in the 16 hours where there's light. And what are the odds that he's going to show up in the second week? I mean, probably not great odds. No, the oil salesman just wants to take advantage of me. I'm not going to look stupid. I can handle myself with the usual amount of oil. And then four others agree with that one. And pretty soon we have the five foolish women and the five wise ones over here. The others risk looking foolish, risk being taken advantage of. And for that, we call them wise. The five who risked, the five who were prepared to take the outside advice, the extra resources, were the ones who celebrated. So, what is the parable telling us? What are we being told? For me, I hear we can't do it alone, and we shouldn't try to do it alone. Now, this may not be the way that most of us have read this parable. It might sound like an easy way out to some, I don't know. But I'm suggesting here, actually, I think is somewhat dangerous, really. This parable is telling us, I think, to be open to outside resources and advice. It's telling us to give up control of the universe and let other people give advice and even help. And for some of us, that's not easy. I parent my children, you know, even as they're now adults, because, you know, they're not done yet. I can usually handle my job here. I write sermons, I counsel people, I go to work every day. And after a while, some of the things that I do start to get tougher, you know, and there'll be a hard week, and then help, someone will come along, a well-meaning person will come along, and they'll say, Norm, can I help? Well, I don't think so. No, of course. This is something that I do. This is something that's mine. Aren't you aware of all the things that I do and how capable I am? Don't you realize that I can handle? Are you insulting me by offering to help me? Sound familiar? The people trying to help may as well have been saying, do you need some more oil? Let me get you some more oil. I don't think so. I know what I'm doing. Living in this manner, there will come a time when the door will be locked. There'll come a time when doing it by yourself simply won't get it done. There will come a time when the most competent of us will be incapable. Not because of poor planning or incompetence, but just because. Because there's always going to be a door that we don't have the key to. And that's when we need something extra. Call it faith, if you choose. Or maybe it's more earthy. Call it letting somebody help. Trusting in others. Faith in God, absolutely. Faith in others, too. God calls us into community. Calls us to be together. So faith in others is a kind of faith in God. If the unfortunate women had let the oil merchant help them, if they'd been open to the advice, if they had risked trusting another, they would have been celebrating and not left standing outside looking in and feeling desolate. But we'll be honest, this comes at a cost. Living with other people, not just in the presence of people, but actually living with people requires risk. The five foolish women chose not to risk being taken advantage of. I get it. They didn't want to be burdened. They didn't want to look foolish. It's understandable. When we risk, you and me, we're vulnerable. So much of what we do is geared toward making us invulnerable, right? That's what we're taught. We're taught to be invulnerable. So to become vulnerable is just goes against the grain. Get a good paying job, secure your future. Put money in the bank, don't be vulnerable to the changing economy. Get a flu shot, don't be vulnerable to disease. Cosmetic surgery, go to the gym, don't be vulnerable to aging. Keep secrets, don't let anybody get anything on you. be in control, keep control. These are all common motivations, and they're not bad in and of themselves. But somehow, sometime, something will happen that you can't control, and you can't keep it secret, and you're going to be forced to be vulnerable. And I think that living in faith, faith in God, faith in the people all around you, is a way of practicing for that time. Being open with people, sharing with people, helps us on that day when the door is locked and we have no choice but to accept help from others. You know, there is no way that the death of a loved one doesn't hurt. But when you have people around you with whom you can share your hurt, when others can be with you and cry with you and find your long-established pathways, then the strength isn't yours alone that carries you through. It comes from those people around you. When you live with people, when you're open to people, then your whole world doesn't have to be turned upside down simply because you can't handle it all yourself. You know, it's an act of faith to sit down with somebody and say, you know what? I'm afraid to be alone in my house. When you do that, you risk being ridiculed. You risk someone taking advantage of your fear. But you know what? When you're alone and the phone rings and a friend invites herself over for coffee because she knows how you feel, then you know what it means to live with people. It's an act of faith to say to your partner, I'm not sure what's going to happen at work. I'm worried about my job. I don't know if I can handle it. When you do that, you risk your self-image as a person who can do it all. You risk the image of the perfect provider. You might even needlessly worry the person you love. But when you hold each other and you know that nothing is being held back and your partner tells you that everything is going to work out, then you know what it means to live with someone, not just in their presence, but actually living with them. It's an act of faith to show another person love. Go out on a limb. You risk the limb being cut off. You risk making a mistake. You risk the image of being in complete control. You risk the pain of rejection. But when the love is returned, when care and nurture is shared, that's a life of faith. And that's a celebration greater than any wedding feast. That's the prize. What did Jesus mean when he told the parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the foolish bridesmaids? Was he talking about himself? I don't know. Maybe. Was he talking about us? Definitely. Absolutely. However you hear the story, Jesus is pointing us to a life when locked doors cannot keep us out, when we will always have enough oil for our lamps, and we'll always be able to join in the celebration. And when I read this parable, I believe he wants us to start preparing here and now. So take some advice. Don't wait. Start living with others, not just in their presence, but start living with others right now. That's faith, even faith in God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to be clever and wise, but encourage us also to be vulnerable, to risk, to trust, to truly be in community with those around us and with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who stands at the door and always opens when we knock. Amen.